If you're an aspiring female leader, today's episode is for you. Leadership consultant Paul Lawrence Vann joins us to talk about the three-step process to becoming a leader of influence. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage: How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste. Did you know that there are more women business leaders than ever before, which is really a great thing, but not so much at Fortune 500 companies? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how we can change that with a wonderful guest that I'm going to be bringing on here shortly. But for those of you who may be new, I am Gloria Grace, the Light Messenger, and really is my passion to help women and entrepreneurs in particular, but women professionals to be able to really shine their light in the world. So without further ado, I am going to bring on our guest because he knows a thing or two about leadership. Let me just say that. So I'm going to bring him on and then introduce him officially. So his name is Paul Lawrence Vann, and he is a retired lieutenant colonel with the U.S. Air Force. He's also an international speaker, a two-time best-selling author. His latest book is called Leadership is Influence, which we will be talking about today. And we're going to learn more about you, Paul, in a second. But right now, I want to officially welcome you to Live, Love, Engage.
I'm honored to be here, and thank you so much, Grace. We're going to have a great time and share on a very important topic, so I'm ready to roll.
Awesome. Well, let's start off with a little bit about your background. I alluded to the fact that you were in the Air Force. So what brought you to where you are today, being a speaker? You're also a leadership consultant. This is definitely, leadership is in your, not the bailiwick is not what I'm looking for, but anyway, this is your focus right now. So what prompted you to do that?
Well, thank you for asking this question, Grace. And what brought me to leadership is that at the age of 10, my parents started a community grocery store, and there was no one more excited about it than me, until my parents told me I would have to open up the store after school each day. So at the age of 10, I had to give up any after school activities, sports, playing with my friends, different things such as that. And fast forward, I started building a relationship with the vendors that came through, with the customers. And it was actually growing and developing me as a leader at the age of 10. And then fast forward, I was the first generation high school graduate, first generation college graduate, and then first generation two master's degrees. And then I joined the Air Force just after I received my degree. And of course, I had 2 years of Air Force ROTC at North Carolina State University. And that really got me started. And I ended up joining the Air Force and coming on duty as a commissioned officer, as a second lieutenant, about 6 months after I graduated from college. And so I attended every leadership school that the Air Force had to offer, and I led people. I managed different resources, equipment, and multi-billions of dollars. And then that's what led to me becoming an entrepreneur after I retired after a 20-year career in the United States Air Force.
Wow, that's amazing. And what I was thinking of as you were describing all these wonderful experiences that you had that helped you to become a leader, I'm thinking that not everybody, well, number one, is either cut out for leadership, or maybe number two, they're afraid to be a leader. But it seems like you really took that role on, you embraced it. Why do you think that is? Or what was it about leadership maybe that really appeals to you?
Well, again, a great question. And what it really entailed is the fact that I have a functional specialty, which happens to be financial management. I'm a certified financial manager through the United States Air Force and the Department of Defense. And what I found out was, even though I have that functional specialty as a military officer, I'm also in a leadership position because I've led people in to different contractors' plants for billions of dollars, to the extent that some contracts we had to actually let go. So I was in a leadership position reporting directly to a two-star general, and it was incumbent upon us to decide, do we save taxpayers' money or do we go along with the program? And at certain times, we had to drop the program. So $3 billion, that impacts jobs. So these are all leadership roles. And one of the things I want to share with you, the individual who really has inspired me for my life, the late Admiral Grace Hopper. And she came up with COBOL and everything for all the languages that we have for computers. And she made this comment in my very first leadership class. She said, we've been managing far too much instead of leading. She stated that we manage resources, dollars, and equipment, but we lead people. We need to get back to leading more. And that played an instrumental role in me really wanting to take on leadership. And even though people may not know this, but everyone is a leader. And the reason why I state this is because everyone has to lead their life, good, bad, or different. And that's one reason why I say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you raised a good point, and I love that it was she was a general. Yeah.
Navy general.
Amazing. That inspired you, but making that distinction between managing and leader and being a leader. So what do you say the difference is?
Well, the difference is when we come to leadership, we have to lead people. People want to be led. And I always use the example of if a person is at a corporation, there's a leader with a title. That might be the CEO, the president, vice president. And then we have a manager. Managers, they manage the workflow for the employees. And they are leaders as well. And then employees are also leaders because they actually get the work done. So we look at a manager, even though they're managing the workflow, they're still leading. And even though it's an employee, they're still leading as well. And I used the example when I used to work at UPS. I worked for 4 years of college because my parents couldn't afford to pay any tuition for me. And I worked. And what I learned was that I was leading. I made the decision to, after school each day, after class each day at campus, that I was going to go work, be able to afford college. And ultimately, that would lead to me going into the United States Air Force. But leadership is all about people. It's all about people. And being a servant leader, you want to allow the employees, the subordinates, to be able to get the work done. And a leader's role is to make sure they have everything they need in order for them to accomplish the vision, the mission, and the goals of the organization or business.
Hmm. Yeah. And that's absolutely a critical role for them to be able to play, because otherwise nothing's going to get done, or it's going to get done half-assed, shall we say.
Absolutely correct, Grace.
Yeah. Now, you said that, when we met previously at a publicity summit, and that you really are committed to helping more women to become leaders. So why, I'm going to say, number one, first off, why do you think it's so important that we have more women in leadership roles?
Well, first of all, I have five sisters, so I'm backing them. And then I've worked for a lot of amazing women leaders. And so I think it's very important that when we look at women, especially if we looked at Fortune 500, more women should be in leadership roles. They have a larger population. They typically have more education. So they have more intelligence. And they also have, the only problem they're running into is the gender gap issue. And the gender gap issue is that people don't believe that they should be in leadership positions, but it's found that women who are in leadership positions, some of the things that they do is that they broker better relationships and support for the corporation they work for. Another one is they increase productivity, and then they have more empathy than the men do. And they're considered to be more honest than men, more intelligent than men, and they get more done. And I believe those are some of the reasons why more of them should be in leadership roles.
It's interesting. I'm thinking that it's weird that we do have this, there is sort of this perception or this bias against women being in leadership positions, because women are typically, if they are, well, and I'm going to say, even if they don't have children, they often are the leaders of the family. And that's why advertisers are always so interested in women, because women are the ones who control the purse strings. We're the ones who are making the buying decisions. So if we're good enough to do that, we should be able to lead, right?
Yes. In fact, what the term is that women are the center of the family. And that's very true. I saw it for myself being one of 10 children. And my mother was a factory worker for 28 years. My dad, they worked at the same company. He worked for 27 years. And so I saw it play out in my life. And again, I have five sisters. So my dad's comment to me was, son, you want to make sure that none of them young boys do anything to my daughters or your sisters. Yes, sir. I have a lot of respect. But when it comes to women and leadership, women really are in a position right now where more of them are in leadership positions than ever before. But unfortunately, not enough of them are in the Fortune 500 arena. And to consider that just 10.6% of women leaders are leading Fortune 500 companies. But that number should be double, if not triple, at this point.
Yeah. I wonder, I don't know if you have any knowledge or in particular, why do you think it's been so hard? Is it just because it's sort of this entrenched philosophy, I guess, that women aren't there, and so they're just not given the opportunities to step up? Or is there something else going on, do you think?
Well, I think it's actually a combination of what you just shared. I want to use one example. When we look at women in the military, women in the military represent 17% of the total population. And that's not all. Women is the largest pool for recruiting nowadays, more so than the young men. And so they are in positions where they can lead, and women generals, the admirals, you name it, they're in these high-ranking positions, and that should be more. And they're being impacted now by some of their laws that are out there that may impact the readiness of our defense of our country. And so more needs to be done. I think we need to start looking at different ways of getting women in positions for them to become leaders. And I think we'll be talking about that in just a few.
Yeah, well, I think that is going to lead into my next question I was going to have for you, which is, how can business owners identify and nurture women with leadership potential?
Yes, what happens is, and many of us see it, I've worked in Fortune 500 for mobile oil company. So I saw leaders that did a great job, the women leaders. And so first of all, we have to identify them. You can identify them by their intelligence. So for example, I had a good friend. She was an engineer from Texas A&M. She was a chemical engineer when I worked at Mobil Oil, and was bright as the sun could shine. So she could be identified as a potential leader. And then number two, she can also be sponsored or have a mentorship. And mentorship is that a person provides advice and they help them along their journey. But a sponsor is actually someone in a leadership position, and they can actually advocate for the woman, the young lady, to be positioned for a leadership spot in the future. And then last but not least, one of the things that we can do is we can network. They can get networking opportunities so that they can meet other people and help them with their professional growth. And that professional growth would include things such as leadership training. It would give them some actual experience leading, and also having like an understudy where you'd be able to, what we call, shadow the leader and be able to see how leadership works from one perspective. And another is to have men in the organization who are in leadership positions to also assist the young lady and the woman, young women, with different opportunities to take on leadership positions at times. So you actually want to be developing them over the course of time into leaders.
And I like how you mentioned the acting as an understudy. You know, typically we hear about that in the acting profession, but that makes sense too. And you talked about this mentors and sponsors. I like how you differentiated them. Why are they so important in helping to develop leaders?
They're very important because a influential leader identifies with someone within their organization. Again, a leader has a vision that they want to see come to fruition. They have a mission. They also have a different, what we call a business. You want to be able to expand business. So the business performance, they want to enhance that. That's what all leaders want to do. And then if they do not develop, they being in the leadership with the title, president, executive director of a nonprofit, if they do not develop leaders behind them, then they actually are going to come up short in meeting those milestones that they have for their vision, the mission, and their goals. And they're going to miss them because they just don't have enough people with leadership expertise. Mm-hmm. And by giving people the opportunity to develop for their personal growth, they're going to see the competition is going to win out with them, because the objective is to maximize the human potential and then also the return on investment. So those are some of the reasons why people who are in those leadership positions have to have influence on those who they want to develop over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you, I think, and you wrote about this in your book, Leadership is Influence, that you've got a three-step process. Can you give us maybe just a, don't give it all away because people need to buy the book, but maybe give us a little hint about what that is to be really, to become a leader of influence. And actually, now that I want to even, before you even go to that, what do you mean by leader of influence?
Yes. And thank you for asking that question, Grace. A leader of influence, again, is someone who is not what we call egotistical. In other words, when I used the example earlier about being a servant leader, a leader who believes that he or she can do it all are fooling themselves, because you have some very smart people on the manager side, employee side. And if you don't utilize this intelligence, this expertise, and that experience, you're going to always fall up short. The celebration of success for an organization has to be of the subordinates or the managers and employees of the company, and give them the credit for doing a great job, because no one man or no one woman with a leadership title is able to do this by themselves. So they have to count on the employees. And the influential aspect, if a leader is actually influencing their employees and staff the way that they should, then the leader would not even be recognized, because their influence is so powerful that the people get the work done without them even being present. And the only time you need to be present, that leader with the title needs to be present, when they're celebrating the success of the organization as a whole.
I love that. Yeah, because it really is, I think being a good leader is making sure that you have people there who are certainly good at their jobs, but and I'm even thinking this is just from looking at it as an entrepreneur, is that you want someone to be able to tackle the things perhaps that you're not so good at. And you want to be able to hire people who are going to excel at that. And then you get out of the way and you let them do the work, right?
That's correct. Absolutely. In other words, what we want to see is the organization operating at peak performance. And it's stated that when there are more leaders within the organization, the leader with the title, managers and employees, that the valuation of the corporation or organization actually increases. And it increases, for example, if we were to sell a business, they look at the number of leaders within that organization and the valuation, they'll be paying a lot more for it, because they have people who are in positions. Even if we looked at succession, new ownership, but we have it already in place where people have these leadership skills, and you get more done with more leaders. And going back to what you were saying earlier, Grace, about just stepping back, a leader with the title, you want to have people in the room that are smarter than you. I've worked for many generals, and they subscribe to the point where you do the work and I'll tell the story, which I think is a great, great collaboration. And that's what we saw. If I work for one-star general, two-star general, three-star general, I would prepare him to go for a hearing on Capitol Hill to meet members of Congress and the Senate and House Armed Services Committee. And we would conduct what we call skull sessions. In these skull sessions, we would tell them, well, this is how many personnel we need. This is the budget we need to support them. This is the equipment we need, the Army tanks, the aircraft for the Air Force, the Navy ships. And by providing them and that general with that title, general officer with that title, allowing you leadership position, staff leadership position, to provide him with what he needed. And it worked out just great.
That's awesome. Now, I don't think let's get back to you now, because I've mentioned, because I sidetracked you a little bit, because I wanted to talk about that three-step process. Now that we know what a leader of influence is, and I think we've established that. So how can someone become that?
Yes, and thank you for asking, Grace. And for everyone who's listening and viewing, what we want to start out with in this three-step process is to become continuous learners. In other words, there's books that people can buy, there are courses that people can take for themselves, self-assessments for themselves, but you want to continuously study someone. I use the example of when I worked at the Department of Defense. And the person that I admired, and most of us junior officers admired, was General Colin Powell. So one day I'm walking down the hall, and all of a sudden I lose my sight, Grace. And I lost my sight because the general had so many stars on his shoulder that I lost my sight. But that was General Colin Powell. I said, that's General Colin Powell. I was just excited. And so a continuous study for me was to study him as a leader, purchase his books. I go to different events where he's speaking, even when he was in the Army, and he was chairman of Joint Chiefs and after he retired, but I still followed his leadership style. His leadership style was to take care of your soldiers. And that's the same thing with a corporate leader, take care of your employees. And so when we look at that, that's continuous study. Then the next step in this process, in this three-step process, is to actually get practical leadership experience. And we don't have to just get it in a corporate confines. We can also get it as a volunteer. For example, I work for a nonprofit organization, volunteer my time. You can obtain leadership practical experience through that. But then also within the company, if you have a junior, let's say if we have a young woman who's coming in, she's been identified as having leadership potential to grow through the company, then give her a project to work on and let her lead that project so she's actually getting practical experience. And then the third step in the process is for everyone, the leader with the title, the manager, and the employees all receive a standardized leadership development workshop by the same vendor, same contractor. So everyone will be receiving the same thing, not only at the corporate office, but the regional office and the local office as well. And through that three-step process, a person can become a better leader as well as a leader of influence.
Wow. Now that's interesting, because you're saying that everybody should attend this workshop. So what is the benefit? I mean, I think I know, but I want to hear it from you. So what would be the benefit for like the manager and the employee to be taking a leadership workshop?
Well, again, what we want to do is we want to increase the level of leadership knowledge, experience, and abilities. Because once we do this, we are actually going to maximize the human potential. But the fact that having everyone take the same standardized, everyone is on the same sheet of music, if you will. And so everyone knows where if I'm a leader, I need to have the top characteristic of a good leader is to have the quality of the leader. A leader must have good quality. They must be able to communicate. They must have empathy. They must be good listeners. They must be good problem solvers. And they have to be able to work even though the time might be tough. For example, the first thing that came to my mind was when we were going through a war and I'm in the Department of Defense. Well, you can forget about going home at night. You're going to be there all night, right? And so the same thing with a corporation who's having a crisis. You're going to have to work longer hours. But if everyone is on that same sheet of music, then everyone knows what they have to do. Everyone knows their role. And when people know their role, they can achieve what they need to achieve.
And I think it also might be good as well. I'm just thinking to keep other folks accountable, because now it's like the, you know, this isn't like a, some deep dark secret. The employee knows that what training you got, you know, they know what their boss learned, and they can say, excuse me, weren't we supposed to be doing this this way? So I think, I think it does benefit everybody in keeping them on their job.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, what is a commonly held belief about leadership that you passionately disagree with?
Well, number one is that one of the things that people always assume that we've always done things this way or that way. But when it comes to leadership today, a person has to be what we call multidimensional. We know that the workplace has changed and the workforce has changed. We have the hybrid workplaces. Some people will never go back to the physical office again. I know we're having this problem in Washington, D.C., where different people are dropping the lease on the buildings because people are just not coming to work anymore. So a leader today has to be very dynamic in understanding what the employees need. And a part of that is that remote worker is going to remain in place. And we're going to do a lot of this virtually, just as we are with this interview. A lot of the work would be accomplished that way. And what they're finding out is it's actually working. COVID-19 actually brought out an aspect of work in the workplace, and it's never going to change. And so that's what we are right now. But it's to understand that the dynamics of today's workplace and workforce will never, ever be the change again. And it's going to continue to evolve as we go get further away from COVID-19.
Yeah, definitely. It's certainly been an interesting several years in seeing how things have changed. And people are, I think this is why we need more books like yours, you know, and talking about leadership and talking about this, because there are so many employees who are still feeling like they're not being heard or they're not being appreciated. And this is why we need more leaders to be able to step up and really encourage them.
Yes. And one of the ways we know how things are working out in the workforce and the workplace is when we looked at last summer of 2023 and we saw all the work stoppages and employee strikes. One of my past employers, UPS, who I work for, they averted a strike by just deciding, you know, we're going to pay you drivers what you deserve. We value you. They built up goodwill between the UPS leadership, between the union and the employees. And so now the drivers even have air conditioning in those small trucks, those UPS trucks. That's a big deal. And the average salary is coming in at $170,000, and it's much needed. Because it's riskier being a driver now than it was when I was working for UPS. And then when we look at the UAW, the United Auto Workers, well, their strike went on for several months. And in the first 10 days, they lost $5 billion because of work stoppages. Kaiser Permanente went on strike, and the Screen Actors Guild and different organizations, even John Deere Tractor, they went on strike. And they were finding out that the corporations that decided to go on strike, they were losing, and they were losing the confidence of the people who purchased these products and items from them. Mm-hmm. And using UPS as an example, the next time they have a contract year to come up to decide what they're going to do with pay and benefits, they have already built goodwill. So you look at them and having a really good second round here in the next couple of years.
Mm, yeah.
But strikes tell the story.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And well, I come from union parents, so that's I was raised on it. And I know they got a bad rap for a long time, but there's still a lot of good benefits that can come from being part of that, is being able to then, you know, have a better dialogue and to be able to get better working conditions.
Yeah. And so I'm going to let you in on a secret. Yeah. My father was a union president for 20 years in tobacco. Yeah. I had a close up look at this in negotiation and working with the Califano family and everything. So I got a close look at it as a kid.
Wow. You certainly did. Why did you actually decide to write the book? We wanted to be able to talk about that just a little bit too before we finish up here today. So what prompted that?
Well, what prompted it, and thank you for asking that question, Grace, is that I knew inside of me I wanted to pour out into people more in terms of leadership. I looked at it from not only the professional side, but the personal side too. A lot of times when people look at that their life is not going well, it's because of the leadership decisions that they're making, because with every decision we make, there's a consequence. So I wanted people to understand that you as an individual, me, my daughter, my son, we are all leaders, except nobody's told you that. So now I'm telling you, and that's what I'm telling people, you are a leader because the way you live your life is your leadership journey. And then when we look at it professionally, I want people to know, I want the employees and the managers to know that they're leaders as well. And when the leader with the title understands this, they need to tell their employees. For example, when I worked at Mobil Oil Company, no one told me I was a leader, even though I was handling the financial analysis for them. And this is a big mega company in terms of making a lot of money in oil and gas. It's a big business. But I was a leader because I was providing the financial numbers from all over the country for the local office and more. So everyone who is employed, the employer is hiring you because you have skills, you have knowledge, you have abilities, you have wisdom. And because you have this, you are a leader. And leaders do what? Leaders lead.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, I want to ask you one last question before we... Okay, I've got two questions. But the first one is, this is one that I love asking my guests, which is, what are you curious about right now?
Great question, Grace. And what I'm curious about right now is how our economy is going to flow in the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years. We know right now the economy is flowing very well, but people are not feeling comfortable about their pocketbook and their wallets. And so I want to let people know that the best way to take care of that is to save all of your money if you can. I have that financial background. I always talk to the young officers or enlisted personnel and also people in business. And they ask me, what is the one piece of advice you get? I tell them, if I had to do it again, I would save every penny I earned. Because if you save that, you have the compound interest in over 20 years, you can be a millionaire. I'm preaching to my kids because I want them to get a job and make their own money.
But it's very good.
That's what I'm curious about. I'm curious about how money is going to change. Is it going to go all virtual or will we still have dollars and cents?
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, something we will have to kind of wait and see. But I like your idea of telling young people in particular, because they've got so many more years out of them to save now. I wish I had that lesson instilled in me a little bit better. But it's never too late to start. You can start right where you are right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if someone has been listening to your interview today and would like to know more about what you do and want to know more about leadership, I think you do workshops or things like that. So how can people get in touch with you?
Yes, Grace, and thank you for asking. They can go to www.leadershipisinfluencebook.com. And if they want to look directly at the leadership development programs, they can go to www.paulvanspeaks.com. And in either of those locations, they'll be able to learn a lot more about me, and I would love to work with people. And I want to thank you for being just the greatest of hosts, Gloria Grace Rand. Thank you so much for Live, Love, and Engage.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate you being with us today and sharing your words of wisdom. And I'm trusting that we are going to have many more leaders of all walks of life, because everyone is a leader. We just need to embrace that and to acknowledge that and step into that role.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and continued excellence in all that you do, Grace.
Oh, thank you so much. And I also want to thank all of you for watching, whether you're watching live today on social media, if you're watching on YouTube, the replay. If you are watching on YouTube, I hope you will make sure that you subscribe to the channel and ring the bell for future notifications. And the channel is at Gloria Grace Rand. And also make sure that you leave us a review and a comment on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this as well would be greatly appreciated. And I think that's going to do it for me. So until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.